We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
On the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield, this is Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz. Brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics. And by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. Now live from the Doghouse Sports Grill, here's your host, Malcolm Butler.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inside Bulldog Football here at the Doghouse Sports Grill on 102 North Homer Street in Ruston. I'm Malcolm Butler, joined by Louisiana Tech head coach Skip Holtz. And Skip, welcome to another Monday, another show. Good to have you here.
Nope, it's great to be here, and it's great to see everybody here again tonight, and how much I appreciate it. So many familiar faces that are here each and every week. Appreciate seeing everybody. But it's good to be here and kind of rolling up our sleeves and getting into another week and kind of starting to not only put the last week's film to bed with everything with our team last night, but also trying to get ready for Old Dominion this week. So a lot going on. It's that time of year. It's this crazy time of year. But right now, I really like the way that we went out and worked last night. I mean, I know that right now it's hard for everybody to lose. It certainly wasn't one of our best performances. When you look at it, I think there's a lot of things that you could point a finger to in this game. I mean, the thing that probably hurt the most is, you know, you throw an interception for 6 points. You have a fumble on a kickoff that equals 6 points. You have a blown coverage on the second play of the game where both guys take the flat, nobody takes deep, and you give up 7 points. You have third and 23, and you stop them for an 8-yard gain, and you get a personal foul, which is an automatic first down, which that drive led to 7 points. And there's 28. And all of a sudden, you look at it, and about five plays led to 35 points in that game. Statistically, you can look at it and say, well, the game was even. I mean, both teams had 400 yards, but it wasn't even on the scoreboard. And the way that it's done on the scoreboard is a whole lot different than just total yards. So there's more that goes into it than just that. But I thought we had a really good team meeting last night. We had an awful lot of time to talk about a lot of these things that we just addressed. But I think from a team standpoint, They own it. They know the mistakes that we made, and we've got to do a better job. We were minus three in the turnover battle, and I don't care if you play in the NFL, in college, in high school, in junior high, in pee wee. I don't care what level you go to. The team that turns the ball over the most has a smaller percentage chance to win, and we certainly made our share of mistakes in that game Saturday.
Talk a little bit about your philosophy, and is this common across college football in this day and age as far as you come back and work on Sunday and give them Monday off, or is it a lot of teams still give them Sunday off and come back Monday?
I would think you're probably mixed at about half and half with the country. A lot of the kind of the research that we know today, it's kind of like they say, if you go run a marathon, you're supposed to take on Saturday, you're supposed to take like Thursday off, run about 2 miles on Friday, and then go play or go run your marathon on Saturday, and then you're supposed to come back and run a couple miles on Sunday. The whole thing is about flushing the body, and what we've learned about the lactic acid buildup when you press your body to certain levels, like playing in a football game, and being able to flush a lot of those toxins out of your body, being able to get your heart rate up. We have a flush lift, which is not a lot of heavy weight, but it's just getting a lot of the blood flowing through the body and all the different muscles. We take them out. We run 10 hundreds at a really not at a stress pace, but a jog almost. Again, just trying to get blood going through the body. And then we meet for 2 hours and have a chance to watch the film, and then we practice for an hour. So I think we could do the film on Sunday or Monday, but I do think that it's really positive for us right now to be able to practice on Sunday and get a lot of those toxins out of their body. It also gives them a day off academically when the teachers have office hours open, the teachers are on campus, they're in their offices, and it gives our players an opportunity to take an academic day on Monday.
What does Sunday evening's practice look like? Is it mostly just going over Louisiana Tech, or do you start game planning at that point, or do you wait till Tuesday?
No, it's a combination of both. We normally are on the field for an hour, and we will spend 20 minutes. We'll spend about 15 to 20 minutes on corrections from the game the other day, so we have a chance to walk through and talk about them. And then we'll come back on then we'll go about 20 minutes of kicking game and do about 10 minutes of corrections and 10 minutes of installation on who we're about to play. And then we'll break back up into offense defense and start on our opponent's primary looks, what their fronts are going to be, their coverages are going to be. And then we finish it up with about a 10-minute pass scale period, which really is offense versus defense with none of the offensive line or defensive line. And so we get a chance. It's all passing. It gives guys like Aaron Allen, J.D. Head, a lot of the younger receivers an opportunity to get a lot of work during that time and stay fresh into the offense if they didn't have an opportunity to play a lot the night before.
Let's take a little deeper look at last Saturday night. I'm going to start on the offensive side of the football. And here in the last two games, obviously the offense has not clicked like it did probably in the first five games of the year. Fair or unfair, and again, it's a team sport. There's 11 guys out there, and you've mentioned as long as all 11 are doing, you know, the same thing, it works whether it's the right or wrong. But it seems like the offensive line just has not been able to hold up in pass protection, which has put a lot of pressure on Austin Kendall.
It has put a lot of pressure, and I think we were listed down for 6 sacks on Saturday. And what people are starting to do to us, and right now where we're really starting to struggle a little bit, is at the tackle position off the two edges. People are doing a lot of things early. Austin had a lot of success running the ball. We were throwing a lot of quick game, and we were getting a lot of man coverage. The last couple weeks, what people have done is said, you know what, that's not a very good winning formula going against Louisiana Tech's offense. And so we are getting people that are rushing three and rushing the two tackles off the edge to put pressure on our tackles. They are playing 2 deep, 6 underneath, which is taking the windows and making them real small underneath and trying to force you to hold the ball and throw the ball farther down the field to give those tackles a little chance. I don't want to get too technical with everything, but really schematically, that's what the last two have followed, the same routine of a lot of 2 deep and dropping 8 in passing situations to take away the quick game and some of what we're doing there. So that's really what we're starting to see. I think inside Kelton Hollins, Abe Delphin, and Josh Moat are playing playing really well. They're playing really good football right now, grading a winner every week. I like what Marcus Williams is doing. We've had some injuries with Harlan Dixon. We had Greg Gardner was in and out for a little bit. Keon Henry Brooks got a chance to play a little bit, who showed some flashes. So I think excited for him to start to play a bigger role. Sam Emulis, great to have him back. He had the touchdown catch there at the end of the game. Trey Harris is playing really well for us. I think Jacob Adams, Smoke Harris had the big play early in the game, really electric with the ball under his hand. But really, I think we've got some guys that are playing well, but we still have some guys that need to come around. And the tackle position right now is probably the biggest issue in what we're having on the offensive side of the ball.
So from a coaching perspective, how do you fix that? Does it? I know the other night a couple of times the running back, I remember Greg Garner picking up a blitz one time up the middle. He saved Austin Kendall one time. Is it keeping that running back in? Is it bringing Jacob Adams in? Or is it just you've got to be better at the tackle position, or a little bit of everything?
Well, probably a little bit of everything. What we tried to do, and I don't want to, like I said, get real technical, I tried to stay out of drop back passing on third down is really what I was trying to do. I threw quite a bit of it on first and second down because everybody doesn't have their third down pass plan together, because if you line up and play that every down, we're going to run the ball. And so what I tried to do is I tried to take our drop back passing game a little bit more on first and second down. And then on third down, I ran a draw. I ran two screens. I ran a sprint out, and trying to do what I can in those passing situations where I'm trying to help the offensive line a little bit more. But that's really what we're dealing with right now as an offense.
And you could tell the other night with Austin Kendall, when he dropped back, if his first read wasn't there, he started getting some happy feet, and you could understand why.
I can. I certainly can. And you look at the protection that he's gotten to this point, he is getting a little bit antsy back there. And just, we talked about it last week, how much winning is contagious. So is losing. You know, and I don't want to get into the point where that is contagious and starting to affect our team. But I think when Austin Kendall started this season, he had great confidence in his offensive line and was patient back there and was standing back there. But how many bangs of the rock does it take you to flinch a little bit,
sure,
to start to have that inner clock in your head where you go, okay, time to pull the ball down and time to run? And so, yeah, I think that's all part of it, and I think that's part of the human nature of what he's going through right now. But he's got to trust those offensive linemen, especially if they're only bringing three and trying to drop eight and nine out into protection, which is some of what we're starting to see a little bit. Even there's times last week they rushed the two ends and even took the nose guard and spied him out into protection, where they're trying to drop nine into pass pro, which you don't see very often at all.
As you said, it has a domino effect, because early in the year, a lot of deep balls, and we were successful on a lot of deep balls because he had time back there. Doesn't seem – I know we had the long one to Emelis there at the end of the ball game, but even Smokes was a 10-yard pattern that he took 47 yards to the house, so it cuts down on that ability.
Yeah, and people aren't playing as much man,
right,
because we were getting a lot of man early, and you could protect it, turn the line back, and you had one-on-one situations where you could lay the ball up. With them playing zone, you need multiple receivers out to develop concepts in the passing game. I'm getting way too technical. I'm looking at some people's faces here, and they're looking at me kind of like turning their head sideways, everything I'm talking about. I don't want to get too technical with it all, but yes, I agree with you 100%, and it's more trying to take what our opponents are giving us than it is us trying to force a square peg into a round hole.
You mentioned Smoke Harris. He had a good game the other night, if I'm not mistaken, over 100 yards.
He
had two little 10-yard crossing patterns. One he turned into a 47-yard touchdown. The other one, I think he went another 40 yards. Good to see him get going.
It is good to see him get going, and he is really an electric player and just getting better and better and doing a really nice job. And I think we've got a really good core with Griffin Hebert, Smoke Harris, Isaiah Graham, Jared Means, Trey Harris, Sam Emulis. I think we have a really good nucleus for a passing game with the way that our receivers are playing right now. We just have to be able to buy a little bit more time for our quarterback and give him the opportunity to distribute the ball.
And then again, I thought we ran the ball well the other night with Marcus Williams, and you mentioned Keon Henry Brooks.
Yeah, no, and Keon looked really good, and I think Marcus is playing really well. Marcus didn't even practice last week because he's had a groin strain. And so he didn't practice at all last week, still was able to play, did a really nice job. We just got to get him healthy. If we can get him healthy, I think he'll be able to be much more durable and play a bigger role in our offense. But right now, somebody asked me the question, why aren't you giving him the ball more? Why is he only carrying the ball about 10 times? Because he doesn't practice all week, and he's been injured. And I'm afraid that if I give it to him more than that, we're not going to have them at all. And so I'm trying to really just monitor how much we utilize them on game day. But I would love a healthy Marcus Williams, because I really think that he's a guy that if you give him the ball 25 times, he's going to find you 100 to 150 yards.
Averaged over 5 yards a carry the other night, 66 yards on 13 carries, and Keon, 3 carries for 22 yards. So he averaged over 7 yards a carry the other night. So both of them had a very, very productive game. Good to see Isaiah Graham starting to come back. He had 4 catches the other night.
He did. He had 4 catches. I know he'd like to have 2 back that he dropped.
Yep.
I mean, especially that one on the sideline had a chance to be a touchdown. But Isaiah Graham is playing really well. And, again, Jared Means. I think those guys are playing really good on the offensive side of the ball. Unfortunately, we've got to get – We only had 7 players in our Victors Club. We go through and kind of if a player does his job and plays well enough to win, we go through and put him in the Victors Club. And we only had 7 in the Victors Club. And normally when you're winning or playing really well, you got 14 to 15. You got 2 deep at receiver, your 5 offensive linemen, your quarterback. But like I said, we had 5 plays in that game where we gave up 35 points as a result of 5 plays. And we've got to be able to eliminate those. I think they're playing way too hard. I think they're competing too hard to be able to make some of the mistakes we're making that give football games away.
Louisiana Tech falls in that one, 45-16. We'll be back to talk about the defensive side of the football the other night against UTSA. That's coming up. You're listening to Bulldog Football on the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game, and teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers 4 nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
It's a new season. Get ready for more men's and women's college sports excellence. Trophies will be awarded in June to schools who take the top spot in the 2021-22 Learfield Directors' Cup. The premier award recognizes 1 winning institution in all competitive divisions. Follow your favorite team's progress as seasonal standings are announced at L Directors Cup on Twitter and online at directorscup.org. The crowning achievement in college athletics.
Welcome back to Inside Bulldog Football here at the Doghouse. Malcolm Butler joined by Louisiana Tech head coach Skip Hulse. And Skip, I usually start the show out, talk a little bit about health coming out of the UTSA game.
Yeah, really, I think we're relatively healthy. We've got Marcus Williams, who's going to be back on being monitored with what he's got going on right now. Harlan Dixon still out with his ankle. A couple bumps and bruises, but we may have some guys that miss a little bit of time this week. But right now, I don't think anybody's going to be out this week. I don't think from an injury forefront. We got Sam Emulis back for that game, which was nice to have him back. Levi Bell came back last week, was able to play about 10 to 15 plays. He was very limited in how much work he could get. But he should get better and better each and every week. Excited to get him back to full strength. But right now, from an injury standpoint, I feel pretty good about where we are.
We knew we were facing a really, really good running back coming in. Yeah. And if you take one carry away, and you can't, right? I mean, he went 47 yards early in the fourth quarter. You take that one carry away and you held him to less than 3 yards a carry. I thought against the run, outside that one run, did a really good job against the run the other night.
Yeah, I thought defensively, I mean, we gave up, we were 70% on third down getting off the field. I think they were only 3 out of 10 on third down and converting outside the one run. I thought they did a really nice job of keeping McCormick at bay. And the hard part about it, they ran the exact same run into the exact same call in the second quarter, and it went for 3 yards. And we had a guy made a mistake. He went too far up the field, left the hole, and once he hit it, the safeties had filled too hard, and they couldn't make up for it, and he went straight up the field untouched. And that was, as we talked about, like I said, the zone run, the deep ball on the second play of the game, the penalty on third and 23, the fumble on the kickoff return, and the pick six interception is 35 points. I mean, that's 35 points in a game. That you can't give those things away to an 8-0 football team. That's a really good football team. But I thought outside of those couple plays, I thought the defense played – I thought they played salty. I thought they played well, but unfortunately, big plays are part of what you have to stop. You got to be able to communicate. You can't let a running back run up the middle of the field untouched, especially for a 50-yard gain. But the guys up front continue to get better and better. Kevy Rose is playing really well. DJ Jackson's given us some quality minutes inside. Deshaun Hall continues to play really well. Excited about what he's doing. Ben Bell is growing up. I think he is really starting to mature. We always knew he had a great energy, but we just had to get him a little bit more under control, and I think he's doing a great job. The three linebackers, I think Trey Baldwin, Tyler Grubbs, Ezekiel Barnett, our two leading tacklers right now, are our two linebackers. Very, very active, noses for the ball. They're playing really well for us right now. And I thought B.J. Williams played a really good game. I didn't feel like we played very well at corner. I didn't feel like our corners played very well, and I really don't think our safeties did. I thought B.J. Williamson stepped up, but we've got to get better play on our back end. When you're giving up a big play, it's normally the back end. And we had, I believe we had 6 missed tackles at the safety position, really, and that's dangerous because if a D lineman misses a tackle, it's, you know, a gain of 4. If a linebacker misses a tackle, it's a first down. But if the secondary misses a tackle, it's normally a house call. And that's why we missed 6 tackles at the safety position, which is far too many. Then we've got to do a little bit better job of tackling there. But overall, we've got some guys that are playing well. But just like on offense, we don't have as many as we need right now. We've got 6 or 7 on each side of the ball that are doing some good things, but we've got to be able to put 11 to 14 out there, not at the same time, obviously, that we can roll and play with, that we have a chance to win with.
You mentioned the second play of the game for UTSA. What happened on that play in the secondary?
You know, they went into a motion. They went from 3-by-1. They motioned into the boundary. The corner automatically made the adjustment of an in-and-out package with the safety. The safety never made the call, and he stayed with his man. We had 2 people on the out, nobody on the corner behind it. And it's day one installation stuff with motion. They motion across. You know, you buddy call it. You and I are going to work together. And they didn't do it. They've done it 100 times so far this season. It's a routine play. We always talk about just pick the ball up and throw it to first. It doesn't take something special. It doesn't take a miracle effort in order for what we wanted to do. But it does take communication and everybody working together and everybody knowing their assignment and doing their job. And that was certainly a missed assignment that cost us 7 points early in the game.
You know, we talked on the pregame show about their quarterback, Frank Harris, and how dangerous he is because he can hurt you through the air, and obviously he can hurt you on the ground. He ran for 59 yards, and a lot of that was when we got pressure on him and he was able to weave out of trouble and pick up yardage.
Exactly, and he did a great job. He's a very experienced quarterback, and we talked about them last week. I mean, they started 16 seniors on their offense and defense out of their top 22, and every other guy was a junior. They're playing with a lot of veteran players that are very experienced that aren't going to beat themselves, and unfortunately, we made the mistakes that are going to get you beat. I mean, and that's the shame of it. And we got to do a better job of coaching them and emphasizing the points of emphasis on each coverage with what we're trying to do. And we all got to communicate. But I think they're playing hard, but playing hard isn't enough to win. You know what I mean? You got to play smart football as well, and that's what we have to be able to do. I think our front seven's playing physical and really doing a pretty decent job against the run. We need our secondary to continue to come around. We need to be able to buy a little bit more time for our quarterback, and we need to be able to make some plays down the field. And if we can do that, I think we've got a chance coming into this stretch here with the final five games.
I thought there was one play in the first half and one in the second half that really kind of changed the complexion. The one in the first half obviously was on third and 22. They take a little four-yard gain, go out of bounds. I'm not even sure who it was, but one of our guys picks him up and throws him after he's out of bounds. It keeps the drive alive, and they end up scoring a touchdown when they would have been punting it to you.
Exactly. And third and 23. I mean, it's just keep the ball in front of you. It's a very talented young man. He's a freshman. We're trying to get him, start him to work him in a little bit. We tried to practice him an awful lot early in the year. We think he can help us in the second part of the year, but this is the difference when I talk about a freshman or a senior. Seniors don't make those mistakes. You know what I mean? They pick him up and they take a step out of bounds and they drop him and they tap him on the helmet and say, hey, call your punt team, pal. You know what I mean? Run over their sideline.
Right.
The freshman feels like, well, I got to big boy him and show him that I got my Superman shirt on and I can body slam him to the ground and I'm tougher than you. That's not winning football. You know what I mean? That's not – and the way the rules are built today, shoot, if you hit somebody too hard, you're going to get a flag,
right.
You know? I mean, so you just – you got to be smart, and it was it's a hard lesson to learn, and this is what I've said before. Sometimes when underclassmen are playing, they make mistakes, and when you just want to make sure those mistakes don't get you beat. You know what I mean? That's all you're trying to do is make sure you can eliminate those. But it was unfortunate because that was one when you're off the field. I mean, it's now fourth and 19, and we give them an automatic first down because we feel like we got to throw a guy once he's out of bounds, which isn't very smart football at all.
Down 21-10 at the half. It's
yep.
Still a ball game. They get the ball the second half. They start deep in their territory. Defense did a great job, got the three and out. They punt it back. We start around our own 44-yard line, and then the pick six. And, again, I'm not – Luke tried to explain it on the – he said we sent a guy in motion. They look like they're in man. Austin, then they changed it to a zone. Austin read man, and they made a great defensive play in a pick six.
They did. And we sent a guy – we were in 3-by-1, three receivers to one side, one to the other. We put smoke in motion going across the field. A lot of people will utilize motion because it tells you whether they're in man or zone. If they stay there, they're in zone. If they travel with them, normally it's man. He read that they were going to be in man coverage, but even though that may give you an indicator, you still have to read the defense. You still can't just look at it blind and throw it to a receiver. I'm sure that as soon as the ball released from his fingertips, he wished it was on a string, you know, and that he could start pulling it back, you know, as soon as it left his hand, but unfortunately, you can't do that. And I thought Austin played a really good football game outside of that glaring play that led to seven. But, you know, you talk about, and this is what we talked about before, that one led to seven. The third and 23 led to seven. The uncontested deep ball led to seven. I mean, all of a sudden, they start to add up. And there's 35 points that we help put on the board that we can certainly eliminate. They don't have anything to do with us throwing the guy to the ground and getting the personal foul. They don't have anything to do with us reading the defense and not throwing it. They don't have anything to do with us fumbling the kickoff when we get the ball away from our body that led to 7 points for them. They don't have anything to do with the miscommunication in the back end. That's all us. And those are the things that frustrate you is we got to control what we can control, and that's us, and we got to do a better job and play a better brand of football than we are right now.
Now, it definitely didn't feel like a 45-16 ball game, but it was like you blinked and all of a sudden it had gotten out of hand.
Well, the other part of that, and we talked about the turnover ratio being -3 on the turnovers, or we had three and they had none. The other thing was the red zone. I mean, we have got to be able to get people to kick some field goals in the red zone. Every time they cross a 20, you can't just put 7 points up on the board. We got to be able to stop some people and make them kick field goals. And that's I told the team, if we're both in the red zone 5 times and they score 5 touchdowns and we score 5 field goals, you know, all of a sudden the final of that game, it's 35 to 15. Mm-hmm. You know, and you look at it and go, wow, that was a difference. Well, the difference is the red zone. We've got to be able to make people kick field goals, and we got to be able to put the ball in the end zone. I believe we were 1-2 of getting the ball into the end zone, but defensively we only forced one field goal down in the red zone, and that was there at the very end of the game.
You mentioned your linebackers earlier. The guy, young man that's on the field the last 2 weeks who I've been impressed with, Cody Fulp.
Cody is playing really well. It's great to have him back. I think you really have – I say that we have four starters in our linebackers right now. When I look at Cody Fulp, Mackie Carabin, along with Trey Baldwin and Tyler Grubbs, those guys are really playing well. We have had the opportunity to get big because of some of the formations that we've gotten, but I think Cody Fulp's really playing. He's playing well. He's given us an opportunity to rest Trey Baldwin a little bit more. Trey was starting to take some wear and tear, had a cast on his arm, has had a couple things that he's really been fighting through, but Cody coming in has given us another solid linebacker in there that's doing a really nice job for us. So really like the way those top four linebackers, and I really like Alan Walker, the young guy out of Atlanta. I think he's really going to be good. He's a redshirt freshman right now, and I think, you know, he's playing behind some really good players.
Early in the year, it seemed like we were getting to the quarterback a little more. We got to him the night. We were just never able to bring him down. Again, very elusive young man.
Yes.
But the last two games – it's such a big difference when you can put pressure on the other team's quarterback, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a huge difference. And that's, I think, one of the things, that's one of the places we're really missing a guy like Levi Bell. Levi Bell is one of our best interior pass rushers. He's one of the guys that you talked about early in the season. He was a guy that wreaked a lot of havoc on centers and guards in getting back to the center and creating some pressure on him. But with Levi being out the last 4 weeks and just now starting to come back, we miss his presence right now in the middle of the field, forcing them to be able to come down to help them. And then we're just, like I said, last week we got back there a couple times. But as soon as we get back there, that's because I don't believe Frank Harris had a called run Saturday, but he rushed for 50 yards. And that was because once you got back there, you think you got him dead to rights. He would make a move, roll out wide. If he didn't have anywhere to run, he'd throw it away. If he had room to run, he'd take off. He's a seasoned, experienced quarterback who's very athletic with that ball under his hand. But, yeah, if we can get a little bit more pressure, it will certainly help us on the back end.
I want to mention Cesar Barajas. He averaged almost 48 yards a punt the other night, had another long one, 62 yards.
Well, I'm waiting to come on this show now for 7 weeks in a row and everybody to go, you know what, you're full of manure. You told me this punter was really good and was capable of kicking it a long way, and here we've averaged like 38 yards and we averaged 48 to 50 in practice. And I, you know, we go out there in the stands and I told him, I said, I don't know what the difference is between practice and a game, but he gets in those games and you run out there in front of people, and you know, some guys, they try and look pretty and they got to have 17 wristbands on their legs and they got to have their shirt untucked just right and they got to have "Hi Mom" written on the sign up their arm, you know, and they do all that, and then they go out there in front of everybody and they totally choke. You know what I mean? I don't know what other way to put it, but as I tell him, I just want what he's capable of. If what he does in practice is kicks at 38 yards, I'll accept 38 yards. I'll live with it. I'll love it, and we'll be good. But when you're capable of kicking the ball 45 to 50 yards, and he goes through stages in practice where he may average 55, you know, I mean, so it was really nice to see him show up in the game on Saturday and be able to put some of those together. And hopefully the second half of the season, we've gotten some of that nervous energy out of him. It's like I had a kicker tell me one time that I made him really nervous, and I told him I planned it on being at all the games. So, I mean, he better get used to me being on the sidelines watching, because, you know, I was gonna be there. And so hopefully he's a little more comfortable with me now and I won't make him so nervous, and he'll be able to continue the performance that he had Saturday with a 47-yard average. And, you know, special teams, I thought we played really well. I thought it was our best game of the year. Outside of the fumble, which led to 7 points, I thought our kickoff team did a great job. We held them to the 22-yard line on our kickoff team. Our punt return team held them to their lowest net of the season at 34 yards. We netted 41, which was our highest of the season on our punt. The only thing, I mean, I didn't think our kickoff return, we've got to shore some things up in that, but honestly, I thought it was one of our best performances from a special team standpoint. And uncharacteristic, Jacob Barnes really missed his second kick of the year.
A couple of guys I want to mention on special teams, Reeves Blankenship, your deep snapper, yep. And then Noah White, your holder. So far this year, they've been perfect.
Yeah, everybody says that the only time you're going to know a deep snapper's name is when he snaps it over somebody's head. So let's hope everybody continues to leave. Let's leave Reeves Blankenship as an anomaly, just a ghost down there that nobody sees. But he's doing a really nice job. He's done it for 4 years for us. I mean, the guy is a seasoned vet. He's been here a long time. He does a great job. He's very accurate with it, and I trust him tremendously. And Noah White is a young man who's come in here, and he's really done a nice job as the holder. He's a walk-on in this program, will probably be the next deep snapper when Reeves Blankenship leaves, and will probably earn a scholarship here. He's done a really nice job, and I don't worry, just as we talked about the last field goal in the Mississippi State game. I really don't have any panic attacks about the field goal unit, the snap, the hold, and the kick. I think we've got three really reliable, trustworthy guys there that have done quite a bit of it. So they're doing a nice job.
One other special teams note, unless I'm imagining this, and I don't think I am. You ran a fake reverse on a kickoff the other night. We did. Yep.
Yep.
Something that might we see a little bit more of, maybe hand it off?
Well, we're just trying to – after the fumble, no, I probably won't hand off a reverse. I probably don't have the courage to make that call after the fumble last week. But just trying to do some things to try and create some angles for our guys and make the kicking team to defend the entire field. When you get a good kicker and he can log you down into a corner, sometimes it's good to have something like that just to be able to spread the field. And I think that return got us out to about the 30-yard line. So it was a positive little play for us. We'll have to come up with some wrinkles off of that, but see what we can do with it. But there were definitely some positive things in the special teams the other night.
When it comes to special teams, I think it's fair to say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you're pretty close to the vest type head coach when it comes to special teams. Not a lot of risk, correct?
No. I mean, we have a fake punt. You know what I mean? We have a fake punt. I've run them in the past, but it's got to be the right situation. I know every fan wants us to go for every fourth down. I get it. I understand it. But, you know, I got to look at our defense in the eyes too. You know, and if you go for it at midfield, don't make it. They got to look at you and go, Coach, could you at least pin him back in the hole and make him go 80 yards? Let's not – we feel like we're playing defense on the edge of a cliff. And so you've got to protect them too. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to play smart football. That doesn't mean that you don't run a fake or you don't do some of those things. But, no, I'm not going for it on every fourth down. I'm not that will not –
There is a high school team that does that, isn't there?
Well, he was in high school and then he went to college and he's been getting beat by about 80 points. I don't know how well that experience – and how long that's going to last. So we'll see as we continue to go through the year, but we'll see how long that experiment continues to last. But, yes, he did. He went for it on every fourth down. And
it didn't matter whether it was fourth and 30, he was going for it.
It didn't matter. And he is now at a small college, and like I said, not having a lot of success with that philosophy right now.
I understand. All right, we're going to give you a break. When we come back, we will talk with Louisiana Tech Assistant AD for Brand Engagement, Reggie McIntyre. That's coming up. You're listening to Bulldog Football on the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
Starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Life's just more fun on a new Easy-Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an Easy-Go multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an Easy-Go utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of Easy-Go gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new Easy-Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART. and go Bulldogs.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
Hi, I'm Miss Louisiana Julia Claire Williams on behalf of the Louisiana Propane Dealers. I'm sure you know that clean, affordable propane gas is used in houses across our state. It's used in cooking, water heaters, drying clothes, and heating homes. But did you know that if you ever run out of propane, you need a certified dealer to inspect your system for leaks before it's refilled? That's the law. Propane is safe energy for everyone, and we want to keep it that way.
Welcome back to Inside Bulldog Football. I'm Malcolm Butler, joined by Louisiana Tech Assistant Athletics Director for Brand Engagement, Reggie McIntyre. Reggie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Real quickly, just want to take a moment to thank Burt Davis and the staff here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. They've been serving up the best burgers in the area for a long, long time. They're a proud supporter of Louisiana Tech Athletics. We appreciate Burt Davis and the staff here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. Reggie, let's tell people a little bit about yourself. You came to Louisiana Tech this past July. Give us the synopsis of your journey to Louisiana Tech.
Absolutely. And so, first of all, I'm thankful for the opportunity here. I came from Wichita State University, but I am, some people get mad at me for saying this, but I am an NC State graduate. We played NC State in football this year. Also graduated from the University of Louisville as well. I took a job in Worcester, Massachusetts, at the College of the Holy Cross. Went to Wichita State, and now I'm here to help build the brand similar to what we did at Wichita State, which at the time had one of the best game day atmospheres in the country.
No doubt about it. Since you've been here at Louisiana Tech, and again, you got here in July. We kicked off football season in early September. That's a quick turnaround. Just talk a little bit about trying to build your team.
Absolutely. I'm actually very, very blessed. I inherited young people like Region and Elise. Region works on video, Elise on social. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about here was expectations. One of the things that I was always taught, if your habits don't line up with your dreams, then you either need to change your habits or change your dreams. And we want to compete at a high level here at Louisiana Tech in everything that we do. One of the pillars that Dr. Wood talked about, culture, class, competitive excellence, and those are the things that we do within our group here in the brand engagement offices. We've been recruiting all over. I've literally been here eating paw claws, which is my favorite meal, by the way. All right. And I've learned and heard from young people, students, fans, alums, you name it. And we've incorporated different pillars of what they've talked to us about, because those things are very, very important in everything that we do, because we are actually the team that represents them. And we have to make sure that we're pushing Tech forward.
Talk a little bit about your interaction and how important it is with the SGA and all the Louisiana Tech student organizations, because obviously very important. We had a great student turnout, I know, at homecoming on Saturday. I think there was over 3,000 student tickets claimed. And when you start looking at the percentage of the student body that entails, that in this day and age is a really good turnout at a football game. But just talk about the interaction with the SGA and the student organizations.
Every detail matters. Every detail matters, and we're here to deliver excellence and integrity in every aspect of what we do. And working with SGA, Top Dogs, you name it, they have come in and implemented different ideas that they wanted to see done. whether it's fan experience, music, video, you name it, their experience matters because they are the future alums, they're the future donors, you name it. And so we want to make sure that their experience comes first. And we wanted to make sure that we put that to the forefront.
Not only the students, obviously, but all of your fans. Just talk about the importance of getting feedback from the fans and how can fans provide that feedback?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, they can actually email me personally, McIntyre@LawTech.edu. I'm here for them, and I'm here to hear everything they have to say because the little things, again, matter. Now, when you're talking about interacting with fans, they've done a great job of letting us know their thoughts. I mean, just looking at small wins for us as we continue to build, we were 134th in the country for interactions in the month of September. We were 39th in the country on TikTok. Now, look, don't expect me to dance or anything like that, but our student athletes are out there to the forefront interacting and talking to everyone. And, you know, good, bad, and ugly, we want to make sure that we're moving everything forward.
And then you mentioned, but just the importance in this day and age of interacting through social media.
Well, social media is everything. And we have to make sure that we're fulfilling our promises. You know, we have some of the best facilities, coaches, support staff in the country, I believe. And we want to make sure that we're showcasing our personality, our brand persona, our core values, our visions. You know, athletic excellence with ambition and integrity is something that I talk about over and over again. And I honestly, if you ask my staff, they're probably tired of me talking about it. But we want to make sure that we create the best opportunities for victory on and off the field. And that starts by doing the little things, and that's interacting with our fans and giving them the news, getting them to understand what we're doing behind the scenes.
You know, I know we've talked about it numerous times in external meetings and executive staff meetings, but, you know, this is obviously Dr. Wood's first football season at Louisiana Tech, your first football season at Louisiana Tech. And so a lot of times you're going to get a lot of feedback, and there's going to be a lot of different things that we look at doing differently, but a lot of times many of those are hard to do in the middle of the season. It's a matter of trying to get all that information, get the feedback from the fans, and then hopefully incorporate in a lot of that come 2022.
Absolutely. People probably don't really know or understand these types of things, but we've evaluated a lot of feedback that we obtain, and we're actually meeting about 2022 already. We're already taking these different concepts to push those forward, to get an understanding and evaluating what fits for us, to do what's best for the fan. And again, when you talk about fan development and brand management, those are some of the things that we want to make sure that we sit back, evaluate, and establish. There's been plenty of times where I've been here talking to some of the people that are in the crowd right now, and I've gotten to know them, and they've said, hey, this has got to change one way or the other, and we understand those things.
Well, Reggie, we appreciate you coming on with us tonight, talking a little bit about who you are and what your team is doing, and look forward to seeing some of the things you incorporate during basketball season, which is right around the corner.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Louisiana Tech Assistant AD for Brand Engagement. That's Reggie McIntyre. We'll be back with more of Inside Bulldog Football. You're listening to La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
Hi, I'm Miss Louisiana Julia Claire Williams on behalf of the Louisiana Propane Dealers. We're all used to bad weather in Louisiana, and we know the benefits of clean, portable propane gas during those emergencies. But if your propane tank is ever damaged in a storm, you should have it inspected by a certified propane dealer. And if you ever smell gas, turn the system off at the tank and call your dealer immediately. Propane is safe energy for everyone, and we want to keep it that way.
It's a new season. Get ready for more men's and women's college sports excellence. Trophies will be awarded in June to schools who take the top spot in the 2021-22 Learfield Director's Cup. The premier award recognizes one winning institution in all competitive divisions. Follow your favorite team's progress as seasonal standings are announced at L Director's Cup on Twitter and online at directorscup.org. The crowning achievement in college athletics.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
Welcome back to Inside Bulldog Football. I'm joined again by Louisiana Tech head coach Skip Holtz. And Skip will be heading to Norfolk, Virginia this Saturday to take on Old Dominion. Only the second time these two programs have met in football. First time back in 2014, it was in Norfolk. That was an overtime contest that year. It's a 2:30 Central Time kickoff this Saturday. The game will be on CBS Sports Network. As a head coach, on the road, you prefer those afternoon kicks as opposed to the night kicks?
I certainly do. I think it's hard when you get back at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning and you got to practice Sunday night. 12 hours later, you're back out on the field practicing. I think it makes it really hard on your team. I think it's hard on your student athletes, and then they've got to get up and go to class on Monday. But so I certainly would be in favor of 12 o'clock kickoffs on the road. I mean, just to have the opportunity to get back at a reasonable time. And you talk about the last time we played there, we lost to them in overtime at their place. And 15, was that 15 or 14?
14.
In 14. And they had a quarterback, a young quarterback named Taylor Heineke, who was a really good player. And I put on the Redskin game. Oh, I'm sorry, the Washington team. I put on the Washington team the other day, and Taylor Heineke is the starting quarterback for the Washington
football team.
Football team. Yes, I mean, so just you bring that up. But I saw him when we were playing. Really good player. They've got a they've got a really neat place to go play, and I think our players are really excited about it. You know, somebody gave me the stat the other day that I think our first seven opponents are like 33-13, I think is what somebody gave me. 33-13, we've been underdogs five times in the first seven games of the year, which has been, as we talked about, the rough side of the mountain and being able to get it. But coming down the stretch here, I mean, you're playing, the teams that you're playing are now like 13-25. And so excited to get into the second half of the season. And when everybody started telling me about the numbers and that ODU was only 1-6, I thought, great, I can't wait to play them. We need this. We need to get a little morale booster. We need to get this is something we really need. And then I put on the film, and these son of a guns are good. You know what I mean? I put on the film and start watching them, and they lose to Marshall in overtime. They lose to Buffalo, who's a really good team, 34-35. They lose by one. I mean, all of a sudden you start watching them play. They are, and when you look at them defensively, they're top five in the conference in most of the defensive categories. They're really they're a talented team. They're buying in. They're playing really hard, but there are no bad teams right now when you look at college football. I mean, and so playing a 1-6 team, we can't let the record be mistaken, but as I told them, we're certainly, who are we at this point to take anybody for granted? You know what I mean? We've got to show up and we've got to play, but they have a really good football team.
No doubt about it. backing up, as far as when you play at home, you prefer an afternoon kickoff or are you better off at night at home?
At home, I really, whatever the fans want, whichever is going to bring the fans in, very appreciative. Homecoming last week to the student body that was there. I certainly wish we would have played better with the crowd we had over there. I know a lot of the fraternities and sororities are there for the homecoming courts and all that, but really doesn't matter. I hate passing away a sunny Saturday afternoon to play on Saturday night. So, I mean, if it was my druthers, I think I'd play at noon on the road, and I'd probably play about 2:30 at home.
Old Dominion coming off of a bye. They did not play this last weekend. Prior to that, lost to Western Kentucky, but you mentioned that three-game stretch, one-point loss to Buffalo, lost by a touchdown in El Paso, and then lost in overtime at Marshall. So playing much better football. What do you see from this ODU on team on the offensive side of the football?
You know, what makes them really difficult right now is Hayden Wolf is the new quarterback. They made a quarterback change a week ago. They made a quarterback change and then went into an open date. So you really don't know what's going to come out from behind the curtain after the open date with a new quarterback. They have gone with the redshirt freshman, big 6'5", 220-pound player, and Wolf, really good player. He threw for 327 yards passing in his only start at this point. They had 450 yards of total offense in their loss last week at Western Kentucky. They've got one receiver, Al Jennings, who's a transfer from West Virginia. Last week in their last performance with this new throwing quarterback they have, Al Jennings had 13 catches. Their transfer from Penn State had 9 catches. Very, very talented player. He's a big, strong-armed quarterback. They have two running backs that are really doing it both a nice job. One's averaging 5, one's averaging 5.5 yards a carry. And Watson and Davis, number 2 and number 12, are both very talented players. They've got some, as we talked about, their receivers, the transfer from West Virginia and Penn State are two of their best, and then they've got a really good offensive line. They're doing a nice job. I mean, it's certainly not like I expected seeing something totally different when you look at the record and put on the film, but they are. They're a very talented offensive football team. They're playing some young players right now, but they've made some changes right now. I believe they're playing with 3 freshmen and 5 sophomores on the offensive side of the ball, and really went with a youth movement when they were 1-5, and they made some changes, started playing a whole bunch of freshmen that are talented, that are hungry, that I think are giving them a little bit of a spark.
Louisiana Tech and Old Dominion this coming Saturday. Again, 2:30 kickoff Central Time, and it'll be on CBS Sports Network. Real quickly, a couple of questions, Skip, from the fans. Let's see who this is from. This is from Ben in Shreveport. He wants to know about trying to, says, outside technique and cover 2 zone on the field side is killing us. They ran the slants from the outside receiver. Are we going to address this?
Yeah, I mean, you can play cover 2, and I think that's what he's saying. I mean, you can play cover 2, but the double slants is one of the cover 2 beaters, so to speak. But really, and what they did was they kept taking their 225-pound wide receiver and putting him out there to the field against Xavier Woods and then running a slant on him, and he'd get in and big body him and kind of knock into him and get a little bit of separation, and they hit it on a couple third downs. But we're going to have to do a better job, especially when we get into man coverage, about taking the inside away, because we also gave up a slant down there on the goal line. We gave up a slant down there. So we gave up 3 slants in the day. I don't think the slant is going to beat us, but it's certainly a first down gimme when you're playing that soft on the inside. And so, yes, it's something that we definitely are going to have the ability to be able to take some of that away, especially when somebody went to it as much as UTSA did.
He also wants to know about maybe seeing more of Keon Henry Brooks.
I agree. I'm with you. You're right, Ben. You got a good eye for it, because I tell you what, he looked good at 7 yards of carry. We gave him the ball. He got out on the perimeter. He had some speed, made a couple guys miss, caught a ball in the flat there. I think he's starting to get more and more comfortable in our offense, as he, again, was a guy that didn't get here until fall camp, wasn't here for spring ball, didn't have a lot of the offense before then. But I think he's doing a really nice job, and especially right now with Greg Gardner being a little bit hampered, with Marcus Williams having a little bit of his groin, with Harlan Dixon out with his ankle, we're going to ask him to take a bigger role for us, and I think he certainly needs to, and he's a guy that we need to get the ball under his arm a little bit more.
We'll be back to wrap things up here at Inside Bulldog Football. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small,
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
It's important to take care of yourself, and that's why the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs use Rustin Apothecare for their prescription needs. Hometown owner Heather Jewel Furr is passionate about our Bulldogs and their health. With a friendly staff and a convenient drive-thru, Rustin Apothecare will keep you in the game. Call today to get your prescription filled. 318-255-3223. Rustin Apothecare, a proud partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
Well, back at Inside Tech Football, Malcolm Butler, Skip Hulse, and want to thank a couple of people. Want to thank Lucas Boudreaux, who's been the engineer here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. Want to thank John Tabor back at the studio for his help. Want to thank Reggie McIntyre for coming on and joining us here this evening. Want to thank Ashley Springer, the Louisiana Tech Football SID. Bulldogs and Monarchs this coming Saturday at 2:30 in Norfolk, Virginia. Skip, good luck, and what you got some last words for us?
Yeah, certainly. I'm excited to have the opportunity to go play ODU. We've only played them once since I've been here, and we've never lined up and played Charlotte, and that's another team that's coming up on the schedule a little bit later in the season. So excited to go out there and play. And I know I really appreciate everybody coming out here tonight, each and every week, coming to the Doghouse. Your support is awesome. I cannot thank you enough. And I know this. I know losing is frustrating for everybody. It's not just frustrating for players and coaches. It's frustrating for fans. It's frustrating for alumni. I promise you, we are working hard to try and get a win. We're trying to get a win under our belt. There's still a lot of football to play. There's five games remaining. And I think we've got, right now, we've got a streak of seven bowl games in a row that is somewhat in jeopardy if we can't get off the snide here. And we've got to come together. We've got to keep playing. We've got to keep working hard. But hopefully we can correct some of these mistakes and get out there and go find a way to get a win. So thank everybody for your support. I appreciate it. We're working hard to make sure we can make you proud.
Well, best of luck this weekend. For Skip Hulse, I'm Malcolm Butler. So long, everybody.
Live from the Doghouse Sports Grill, this has been Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics, Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics, and by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the LaTeX Sports Network.